KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Or Redwood City, California.
Hayward?
Near Richmond. Richmond District, kind of.
I'm from Concord.
Martinez.
Hercules.
I'm from Marina, California.
SF State, wherever that is.
Coming up, the North Bay fires burned a Santa Rosa school for high-functioning autistic students, and some of those kids lost their homes, too. So how are they doing?
I'm still kind of mad at the fact that I was able to grab basically nothing. Literally my toothbrush, toothpaste, and only one pair of clothes.
Then we'll hear about a festival celebrating contemporary Latino choreographers that's happening this weekend.
My goal is always to increase Latino audience. So I'm hoping that Latina and Latinos see themselves on stage.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is next. Children on the autism spectrum have atypical brains. They tend to be really anxious, and they don't do well with change. So for 120 students at Santa Rosa's Anova Center for Education, the past month since the devastating North Bay fires has been really tough. Many of these young people had miserable experiences in public school classrooms before their districts agreed to send them to this school for high-functioning kids with autism. It's their home away from home. But the fire that raged through wine country burned the school down, and nine families lost their houses, too. Reporter Lee Romney shows us how one 11-year-old boy is faring and what the school is doing to get all students back to a calming classroom routine.
Are you sure how it goes?
What's the next part? I forget.
Give me the first note again.
I'm visiting Jocko Sodi, his twin sister, and their parents at a family friend's house. It's the fourth place they've stayed since the fire started. The piano helps them feel a little bit normal.
And then the second part, I think, is...
That's what I thought.
Jocko evacuated his own Santa Rosa house in the early hours of October 9th. He left without much besides his Star Wars shirt. The one that's got Darth Vader on it, playing baseball with a lightsaber.
The time was roughly like 2:10-ish, and basically my sister, she like woke me up. I basically thought it was morning, but after I realized it was dark outside, I was like, what's going on? And my sister said, we are evacuating, Jocko, just get out of your dang bed. And my sister was cruel that way. And I was able to grab literally my toothbrush, toothpaste, and only one pair of clothes.
He's pretty unhappy about that because his house and everything in it burned down.
My dad was firm on going, so if I could have grabbed more, I probably would have grabbed all my fencing gear, which cost like hundreds of dollars.
Jocko's got big brown eyes, braces, and a really rational mind. Kids on the autism spectrum don't do well with big changes, and a lot is up in the air for him. Even though he puts on a good face, he's clearly struggling with his feelings. He talks about riding an imaginary lion into his devastated neighborhood to chase off looters. And he tells his mom three times.
I'm still kind of mad at the fact that I was able to grab basically nothing.
Without a house, his parents have even been talking about leaving Sonoma County. Because Jocko's school, it burned too.
Yeah, it was pretty sad, the fact that it was actually gone. Then again, it was honestly a little bit predictable because it's such a big building which has like woods, like some wood supports, like wood.
To understand just how hard this is, it helps to know what things were like for Jocko before Anova. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 3.5. He spent kindergarten, first and second grade at a public school, but he struggled. Here's Jocko's mom, Lucia Cacho.
There were, you know, instances where he was aggressive towards his peers, sometimes, you know, pulling down the shelves in the library where they were trying to keep him in, away from their kids. And it was just getting worse and worse.
The whole time, his family tried to find the right environment and behavior plan for Jocko. But he started having suicidal thoughts. He acted out a lot and got punished for it. His dad, Raj Sodi, says his wife's stomach sank whenever she saw the school's number pop up on her caller ID.
She's like, oh God, what happened today? And so that was a very stressful time.
Jocko's frustrations boiled over. Here's his twin sister, Sophia.
People would recognize me, not like as Sophia, but like, you're Jocko's sister. You're the one who's related to the guy that pulled my hair or something. It's like, no, he's Jocko. It's like, he's not just a hair puller. He can learn stuff.
When Jocko finally got to Inova, everything changed.
They weren't treating me as if I was a bad person for like the first time in a while. This teacher not treating me like a bad person hasn't happened in a while for me.
And then they also recognized how smart you are, right?
Yeah.
Inova students come from as far as 80 miles away. Like Jocko, most are referred by their public school districts, which pay. When Jocko got in, he skipped a grade, and his outbursts, they dwindle to almost nothing. The kids can leave class whenever they need a break. There are quiet rooms for calming down, rooms where they can jump on a trampoline or swing to stimulate their vestibular systems, counselors to talk to, and there's the therapy dog named Larry.
What do you do when you take a Larry break?
Well, sometimes you can just get some toys and play with them. Sometimes you can just like give him belly rubs and stuff like that. And you can also like sort of, I like just flop his ears around sometimes. Most of the time he just sleeps on his bed, which hopefully wasn't, which might probably might have been burned in the fire. Hopefully wasn't.
Jocko's dad was so worried about not being able to find housing in Sonoma County, he took Jocko to check out two other schools for kids with autism in distant communities where they might have better luck. Jocko says necessity beats friends, so he'll go if he has to. But the upheaval is taking a toll, says his mom, Lucia.
You could tell that he looked really low and sad, and, you know, the thought of changing was probably heavy for him, so.
I mean, we're probably not going to change schools in general, are we?
We're trying really hard to stay here, right? That's what Mommy and Daddy are trying really hard to do.
Got it. That's what I was just waiting to hear, that we're actually trying to stay and we're not just trying to move away.
About a week after the fire started, families piled into the Oddfellows Hall in Santa Rosa to get an update from Inova's Andrew Bailey. He tells them school will be back in session soon and that none of them have been forgotten in the chaos.
And the number one thing that we have been talking about since day one is, how are these kids? How are these families? Who lost a home? Who needs help? Who's at risk of leaving the county? We're trying to keep people here. We don't want anybody to have to leave. So.
Not long after, I meet up with Bailey. He's Inova's CEO and Director of Educational Services. He also co-founded the school 17 years ago. He was a therapist back then, and he realized that these high-functioning kids with autism, the ones that often test at grade level, were falling through the cracks.
All of us really started understanding that the students like the ones we serve are not misbehaving because they're bad or manipulative. And that is a game changer for our students. They're understood and they're addressed with sensory sensitivity.
Bailey knows that sensitivity will be more important than ever when school reopens.
They do understand the dangers in life, and they might perseverate on those things, and that can create real emotional problems that can disrupt your day-to-day functioning. When something like a fire comes along, these kids are going to have a real exacerbation of that.
He says Inova's therapist will be ready to help students like Jocko assess how they're feeling, to know whether danger is even present anymore.
And how to calm yourself down, which is really important, breathing and imagination and rationalization.
We're at the school's administrative office, which didn't burn, and we decide to take a drive to the charred campus about 3 miles away. Bailey takes a route that's just been reopened to traffic. A view of burnt hills in the distance gives way to blackened neighborhoods that stretch for blocks.
That was a community of homes right there and right there.
The lawn in front of the school is still vibrant green. A couple of baked tomatoes cling to a surviving vine in the small garden. But other than a few rooms on the far end, the building is a cinder block shell filled with wreckage.
And you can see where it's melted and the paint is melted into bubbles, and so the concrete roof is flipped over right there.
Bailey takes a photo of the blistered tomatoes. Then it's time to go.
All right, well, I've seen enough for today. I can't take it anymore. I like what we're doing to build better than looking at that. That's hard.
Back at Inova's administrative offices, Bailey's mood lifts. A suite of rooms are buzzing with teachers and therapists finishing lesson plans and ordering supplies.
So all of these, you know, instead of sitting in one big classroom, we'll have people broken up. And again,
Inova will fit some students here. The rest will be split between two other schools in the county with classrooms to spare. In the new year, Inova expects to set up portable classrooms at its old location and await a full rebuild. For now, the school's team of therapists will split up too, so each site will be staffed all day. The only rover will be Larry, the Golden Retriever Labrador mix. He'll make his rounds with Principal Heidi Adler. He seems to be doing okay.
Speak!
Larry, speak!
Speak! Speak!
Speak!
Speak!
Nice.
Speak!
You gotta speak in a turn.
I catch up with Jocko on the first day of class at the end of October, 3 weeks after the fire. His grade and two others are in borrowed space in Healdsburg for now. The head counselor spent the morning talking to students about what they've been through. Now they're making art. Jocko is drawing a picture of a dog. His has been staying with a pet sitter.
It's very cute.
This is awesome.
Does it have big cheeks?
Huge cheeks.
Jocko's family found rental housing through a friend in Healdsburg, just a couple of miles from here. Jocko's sister, Sophia, is not happy about it.
She feels like it's the stupidest place we could possibly get a house. All that matters is that we at least have one. But she's like, no, I want to be in Santa Rosa.
Well, unfortunately, it's really hard to find one there.
Exactly.
Inova staff tried to replicate the students' old classroom, down to the posters on the wall.
Hello, everyone.
Is it going to be like this every afternoon?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Outside, Jocko's teacher, Alicia Hahn, said the new space is an adjustment.
So we had more tables in the back so they could spread out. We had a nice library in the nook in the back with big beanbag chairs.
But for these kids with autism, just getting back to routine is a huge relief.
You could just feel the positivity from all of them, just seeing their friends and seeing their teachers and just being like, normalcy.
Even for Jocko.
Getting to see him laugh and see this is great. He's hanging out with his buddy.
Counselors will be tracking the kids closely as they heal, and it's going to take some time.
So, if you had to give this place a 1 out of 10.
You have to get the 1 out of 10.
How's life?
I'd probably give it a 5.
Fire hazard,
how come?
Fire hazard.
I don't know. I just want to.
For now, it's pretty clear the fire still looms large. In Sonoma County, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.
Lee is KALW's education reporter. If you've got a story you'd like to see her cover, email her at education@kalw.org. And you can find more coverage of the fires at our website, kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The Bay is home to tons of ethnic and cultural dance companies and events. Many of these focus on honoring traditional forms of dance. This weekend, artists from Latino and Indigenous backgrounds who are doing contemporary work will come together at the 4th Annual Festival of Latin American Contemporary Choreographers, or FLAC. The pieces will cover how Latinx identity intersects with queerness, body image, immigration, and feminism. KALW's Jen Chien spoke with FLAC's artistic director, Liz Boubillon, and Catherine Marie Davalos, one of the founding members, about this year's festival and the theme, Rest, Unrest.
So Liz, let's talk about the theme for this year's festival. Where does it come from?
So Juan Manuel Aldape Muñoz, the curator of Rest and Rest, is a migrant generation dance artist who has had a very particular experience since the election in terms of DACA and other threatening policies to immigrants here. I think that a lot of us are really fatigued by this.
This time that we live in.
Yeah. And so our conversations were about what are our strategies to take care of each other. And, you know, acts of resistance is a huge and overly used word in the San Francisco Bay Area, I believe. And it's hard. It's like we're constantly resisting, but we're also wanting to find other strategies to survive. So one wanted to create a festival that was intended to support communities who are directly impacted by the current xenophobic policies. Some of the words that we were playing with were rest and stillness and resilience, distraction. I mean, how many Netflix binges have you been on? I mean, so all kinds of, or, you know, just playing and what do people do when there's a revolution, and then showing up on the front lines so that you can continually regenerate and gain energy to keep going. So those were some of the words that kind of came up in conversation around curating this piece.
Catherine Marie, you were there that first year. You're a founding member of FLAC. In addition to the public performances, FLAC also has artist feedback opportunities and panels for dancers and choreographers to talk amongst themselves. So can you tell me a little bit more about the artist-to-artist aspect of the festival?
As a Chicano choreographer, we're often marginalized into categories of other. I found that FLAC was a place for us to have a voice, and also it provided a safe space when you have artists of all the same kind of heritage, nationality, ethnicity, cultural background, we don't have to explain ourselves to each other, and there's some real comfort in that.
I was just talking to a friend of mine recently who's a Black American dance artist, and he's worked here in the States and also in Europe, and we were talking about how the experimental avant-garde, that kind of art, is sometimes seen as a really white thing to do. And that you could be sort of going against your own cultural norms sometimes in practicing that kind of art. Does that resonate for either of you? And is there a way that being involved in something like FLAC can help address some of that?
I think that the white body is not seen as a political or a place of tension. And whereas
it's sort of seen as neutral or read as neutral by.
Yeah. And the brown body or the Asian body, the Black body gets on stage and right away it's a statement just because of the body itself. And so we are constantly negotiating that. Liz and I were talking about this in the car. My dances aren't always political, but yet when I'm visible or on stage or my dancers who are brown are on stage, it becomes a political statement no matter what.
Can we talk about this theme that Juan and it sounds like you guys came up with? How do the individual artists' work address that theme? It seems like it's open enough that there's a lot of different ways it can be interpreted.
Okay, well, I will go through the list. Let's see. Alfonso Cervera and Irvin Gonzalez from Los Angeles are working with the intersection of being queer and brown as well. And Vincent Chavez was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's working on a solo of contemporary dance about following a destiny that's true to himself. Who else? We have Zoe Klein, who's also our production manager, who is an international adoptee from Colombia, and she's addressing how international adoptees are vulnerable right now because of DACA and anti-immigration policies.
I want to ask both of you, what do you hope that audiences are going to take away from this year's festival? What do you want to leave people with?
My goal is always to increase Latino audience. So I'm hoping that Latina and Latinos see themselves on stage.
I would like to leave the audience with some perspective, sympathy, empathy, and also some basic truths. Every now and again, we get an audience member that just showed up because they liked our publicity and they were interested in what we had to say because it wasn't their experience.
It was new to them.
New to them. And I recall a couple audience members that both identified as white in the last two FLAC performances that made it really important to me to just talk with them afterwards. I felt like I needed to spend some time sharing my voice and letting them know what it's like to be me or us. And so I'm hoping that the audience does get some kind of message or meaning out of the whole concert. Questioning body shape and size, questioning patriarchy, questioning our own Latino voices that aren't comfortable with the sexism in our own culture, those kinds of things.
That was Liz Boubillon and Catherine Marie Davalos speaking with KLW's Jen Chien about FLAC, the Festival of Latin American Contemporary Choreographers. You can catch dancers like Violeta Luna, Zoe Klein, and many more this weekend from Friday to Sunday. Performances are at Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco. You can find all the information online at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. And that's Cross Currents. Our team includes Asal Ehsanipour, Nina Gensler-Debs, Raquel Maria Dillon, Lisa Morehouse, Zaina Nasser, Andrew Stelzer, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are James Rollins, Gabe Graben, and Jackie Sajiko. Our line producer is Hannah Kingsley-Ma. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by The Sam Chase and The Untraditional. They played last month at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, and they're playing again this weekend. That's at San Francisco's Great American Music Hall. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Restriction, what's underneath our skin, the hold we have upon our women, but more important, what's within them. It's the fear of what is different. United in division, it's a powerful addiction. We call it religion. In the great white noise. In the great white noise. And we'll leave you today with an installment of My Mixtape, where we ask people from around the Bay Area and beyond to contribute a song that's meaningful to them. Ollie Poole chose this song by duo Gnarls Barkley in this piece produced by Bo Walsh. I remember when I lost my mind.
There was something so pleasant about that place. My name is Ollie Poole. I'm born and raised in San Francisco, California. I chose Gnarls Barkley, Crazy, sung by CeeLo Green. I chose that song because of, there was a lot of things I was going through during that one at time that song came out, which was 2006. And a lot was happening for me. And I was not knowing how to explain myself. And when that song came out, it just hit me. Like, you know, it said everything I needed to say. Some of the things that he was saying, like when he was saying there was something so pleasant about that place, even your emotions had an echo in so much space. It had an effect on me because I know exactly what I felt. I didn't know what he meant, but I know what I felt when I heard that. And it took me there. It brought tears in my eyes damn near, like this. He's saying, you know, exactly what I'm feeling right now.
Crazy.
CeeLo's special when he comes down to singing because, you know, he don't even have to say words and you can understand what he's saying. When you can probably understand where he's at in life if he just blurt out a little sound. I enjoyed hearing his soulfulness, and you can hear his anger and pain when he sings. The song was a beautiful song, man. Ever since I was little, it looked like fire.